It's over. Finally, he's dead. No, not the one that's called Jesus. He's been dead for some time now. It's to the one to the right of Jesus, my son, Dismas. You've heard of him, of course, my son, the malefactor. You've heard the words of his mouth, both cursing and then confessing. But have you ever thought he might have had a father? A father standing in shame among the crowd at the foot of his cross? You've heard his words. I've heard them too. I said standing in shame because that is what I felt this morning, following at a great distance as the three slowly went up the hill to Calvary, carrying their crosses. Shame. What else? Deep shame, for my son had been sentenced for crucifixion. No other punishment has had the shame attached to it like crucifixion. Shame because the worst, the most detestable of humanity are crucified. The corrupt, the trash, and worse. Shame because they were hung there, unclothed, the last final shred of dignity stripped from them. But the shame I felt for my son is nothing compared to the shame I felt for myself. Shame to think that this is what I had led my son to be. Yes, I knew that I had failed him. And that was why he chose the way of life that marked him as a loathsome creature of humanity. What had I done? What had I failed to do? As I look back, two memories return to haunt me now. First, as he was growing up, somehow he never could do good enough for me. This child will not turn out like so many others, I vowed. This one will be a true and faithful son of Israel. The rabbi taught, and I taught, and scolded, always pressuring for more. And then it was time for the bar mitzvah. I was so proud. He did well. Then, just as he was entering his teens, my wife, his mother, died. I should have been crawled closer to him, my son, through that, but instead somehow I felt resentment, hurt, pain when I was around him. He reminded me of her, and I missed her so much. I threw myself into my work. Work, constant work. No time for him. Work to avoid my emptiness, my pain, forgetting that he too had pain. Then suddenly he was gone. That is, I mean, he didn't run away like some ungrateful prodigal, demanding his share of the inheritance to spend and waste in faraway places. No, he didn't run away as such. He just wasn't around anymore. I never knew where he was or when he might appear or not. There was contact, of course. Usually it was when he needed money to bail him out or to cover some loss because of something he had done. I sent money, yes, but I would not go see him. I couldn't. I was becoming bitter. After all that I had done, training, home. He had thrown it all away. Totally. How totally? I found out when word came. Involved in another fracas, another drunken brawl. He had brutally killed a companion over nothing. And they caught him as they had done so many times before. Only this time the judgment was no more. No more will he be allowed to brawl, to hurt, to kill. He was condemned to die. That would be the end of it, once and for all, to die on a cross. I came here hiding myself. He dare not see me. If he did, he would not understand. I wasn't here to scold him, to shame him. I was here to face my guilt, my shame. My son, there on the cross, do you see? I had nailed him there. I told you that I came here. When I came here, I felt shame, despair, hoping that it would not last too long. But I stand here now at this moment, and everything has changed. It's hard to believe, but I do believe it. I heard it with my own ears. My son is now in heaven, in paradise, removed from all the shame, the guilt, the pain. How? By that one. That one who hung there alongside my son, despite the mocking, the cursing, the unrelenting ridicule. That one was innocent. He was crucified even though he had no guilt. Everyone knew that. He'd even taken the place of one of those who was supposed to die with my son, a Barabbas, one who is now free. I know that he is innocent. And more, I know now, I firmly believe that he was the one, God's chosen one, the Messiah promised, the Savior, God's son next to my son. I saw the words of Isaiah fulfilled before my eyes. He was numbered with the transgressors. I saw it with my own eyes. And so did my son. My son hanging there helpless on the cross, life draining from him drop by drop. He saw what I now too believe. This is God's promised one. Promised to Eve and Adam long ago when paradise was lost by disobedience and death began. This is the answer to the soul's most urgent prayer. Prayer. Did you hear my son's prayer? I have never heard anything like it. I was the one who taught him to pray, his mother and I. But this prayer, only he knew how to pray this prayer. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Those words were a confession of hope. Hope anchored in the one who was dying with him, but dying for him. And that hope was not left unfulfilled. For I heard Jesus promise him, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Paradise. Heaven, with the Lord, with the Messiah, in mercy. Our Heavenly Father had saved my son by giving his son. A prodigal son has been welcomed home, and another child of the same father sees his need as well. My guilt, my shame, my shortcomings. I waited too long to welcome him home. But now he waits to welcome me. I know that this is true, for from my son, I too have learned to pray, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom."